Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and I and the supporters of Word of Grace welcome you to this broadcast on CJMQ Radio. Today is Sunday, the 5th of July, and of course yesterday was the 250th anniversary of American independence. In 1751, nearly 25 years before the Declaration of Independence, the Liberty Bell, originally known as the Pennsylvania State House Bell, was commissioned to commemorate the 50th anniversary of William Penn's Charter of Privileges. Cast in London, it cracked on its first test ring and was successfully recast in Philadelphia by local metalworkers John Pass and John Stowe. On that bell are the words of Scripture, which expressed a divine idea of freedom for the hearts of so many of those who heard those words. Words from Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10. And you shall consecrate the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, when each of you shall return to his property, and each of you shall return to his clan. And so with this in mind, and to acknowledging the recent celebration of Canada Day on the 1st of July, let us indeed hear the word of grace.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, God's great power shall soon all nations win for thee. And through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, holy, will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee to as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life.
Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, you are the creator of all peoples of the earth, and in you every nation finds its true worth and identity. Today we come to you with hearts full of adoration, marvelling at the way that you rule over all the earth. We thank you for your gift of liberty to the human race, expressed in so many constitutions, the freedom to worship, to seek justice, to live in peace. While we celebrate the ideals of freedom and hope for those who seek self-determination, we recognize that our deepest and most lasting liberty is found in you alone. Lord, as we celebrate our earthly freedoms in this season, we fix our eyes on the ultimate liberty that only your Son, Jesus Christ, can bring. We adore you for the precious gift of freedom from sin and death, purchased by the highest price, through Jesus' death on the cross. Because of him, we are no longer in chains, but are free to live, serve, and love. As it is written in your word, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. May our souls be free to praise you today and always. Help us to never take our spiritual and physical liberties for granted. Guide our steps, and let us use this freedom to serve one another in love and to glorify your name. Eternal God, before you, nations rise and fall. As we celebrate the freedoms of our country and so many other free countries, we come before you with gratitude and humility. But we confess that we have not always lived up to the high ideals of liberty and justice for all. We acknowledge the pain, division, and injustice that still exist in our land and in others. And we have too often ignored the cry of those on the edges, allowed selfishness and greed to divide us, and failed to be peacemakers in our own communities. Forgive us for the sake of Jesus, and enable us by following him and dwelling in his grace to grow into the kind of Christians and the kind of citizens who will live to serve one another and you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, which is kind of like the farewell speech of Moses to the nation. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Moses said, "When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. And you will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven that you have to ask, who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and resurrection. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees and laws, and then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Amen. That text that I read to you from the Old Testament is a kind of the farewell speech of Moses. The people, after the Exodus event, were on the threshold of entering the promised land, a land that Moses himself would not see. Allowed pride to take root, the land itself would eventually expel them. Now don't get me wrong here. There is a huge gulf in context and history. And though separated by covenant and context, one speaking as a prophet of Israel, the other as a statesman of a pluralistic republic, both leaders delivered final remarks that revealed their belief that the greatest threat to a nation's success is not external enemies, but internal decay. For George Washington, this threat came in the form of the spirit of party, in which political factions prioritize their power over the common good. Conceding that this spirit of factionalism is at some level inevitable, George Washington warned that this party spirit, which left unchecked, would lead to a frightful despotism. And maybe we can see that polarization taking place in some of the politics south of the border, and its reflection with us north of the border in Canada and in other places around the world. We can reduce complex realities into slogans. Convinced that our side alone is right, we come blind to the limits of our own worldview and increasingly incapable of self-criticism. Opponents become easier to caricature than to dignify. Press conferences become opportunities to belittle opponents rather than constructive debates or to allow journalists to do their work of helpful criticism. And that's particular concern for the church, when political movements can attempt to co-opt Christianity to drive their own agendas, when politicians can start quoting the scriptures to justify their own position. Are they seeking the common good, or are they simply looking to leverage their hold on power by appealing to what can be an electorally powerful minority group? God must be on our side if we uphold this or that truth. And we might name some examples or some policies. George Washington cautioned that factions could become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men might subvert public liberty. George Washington's ultimate fear was a leader who would leverage the spirit of polarization to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. Washington's dire promised land. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. He proclaimed, now choose life. And he encouraged, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Now let's not draw a straight line between the time of Moses, the Declaration of Independence, and what nationhood might mean under a Christian polity. Moses understood that over time, people would be tempted to discard God's command of social and political expediency. Moses knew that maintaining national prosperity required obedience to God's commands. Chosen by the Lord to be instrumental in his plan of salvation through Christ, Israel's fidelity was indispensable. They were to be a holy people, set apart for God's exclusive purpose. George Washington believed that it was substantially true that virtue or morality. He warned that the United States' future would depend on the strength of its institutions, yes, but also on the moral formation and fabric of its people and its leaders. Israel's later prophets repeatedly called the nation to remember Moses' warnings when prosperity gave way to pride. But of course, Israel failed to remember. They forgot the Lord their God, who had brought them out of Egypt. They gave in to the temptation to worship foreign gods, and they tolerated sin and unjust treatment towards the poor and the vulnerable. Nations decay from within when fidelity to power, factionalism, expediency, wealth subvert loyalty to greater and more transcendent truth. As I say, these are complex issues. The relationship between church and state. Is it the state's job to simply copy and paste whatever the church tells it to do? Is it the church's task to lobby for one party or vision of the future of a nation to the exclusion of all else, as if it had the monopoly on the will of God? It may or may not be the task of the church, commandments written on public school walls and buildings, but it's that the Ten Commandments might be written in people's lives. For good religion should make good citizens, which makes for good government. So I'll see you in church then, eh? Amen.
Until we're all free, ain't nobody free. Until we're all free, not just you and me. Colors of the rainbow shine in harmony. When we're all free, standing on the backs of angels, staring out to sea, there upon the blue horizon, shimmering for you and me. Sand and stone, salt and light. Hearts and hands take up the fight for victory. Until we're all free, ain't nobody free. Until we're all free, not just you and me. Colors of the rainbow shine in harmony. Today, before you buy into the sorrow, listen to your children pray. Voices carry on the wind, treasures, friend. Until we're all free, ain't nobody free. Until we're all free, not just you and me. Colors of the rainbow shine in harmony. Till we're all till every one of us are free. Lord, in your eyes, none of us are free. Just you and me. Colors of the rainbow shine in harmony. When we're all, until we're all free, ain't nobody free. Till we're all free, not just you and me. Colors of the rainbow shine in harmony. When we're all free.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, on this weekend where we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the independence of the United States of America, and with recent memories of July the 1st as Canada Day in our minds, we come before you to pray for this and all the nations in the story and the history and the actions of the United States of America. So many of us have occasion to be grateful for friends and family in that nation, education and employment, for the interventions in history that that nation has made on behalf of the values of freedom and democracy and liberty. And we're grateful too for the public discourse of faith and the embodiment. And through that nation, our nation and others around the world have learnt to be lands of hope. The hope of religious freedom, the hope of self-government, the hope of liberty. The Declaration of Independence speaks of certain inalienable rights given to us by you, our Creator. Image. We thank you for the vision of nationhood that at its best holds that no one possesses more intrinsic worth for being born rich or poor, male or female, black or white, aristocrat or artisan, financier or farmer. But we grieve for the centuries when that was manifestly not the case. We ask for your grace to be shed abroad among the nations. We do not say that our land, nor the United States, is your kingdom come on earth. And yet, if it be for them, would you see fit to deal kindly with this our earthly country? Give wisdom and humility to governing authorities. Grant to them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Protect those who protect us at home and abroad. Renew in us a desire to love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. Make us a virtuous people, a courageous people, a reasonable and a resolute people. Frustrate the plans of all those who promote what is false and celebrate what is wicked and appropriate patriotism. Strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ. Heal our divisions and lead us to repentance, teaching us to truth and enabling us to be salt and light in the nations. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.